Joining me here in the studio is a Classical 90.5 is guitarist Sharon Isbin, who will be performing with the Louisville Orchestra on Friday, October 12th at Whitney Hall, and performing the Joseph Schwantner Fantasy for guitar and orchestra called From Afar. We'll talk to her about that in a moment. But first, Sharon, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Alan.
You started, about 9 years old with the guitar?
It was really by default. Our family moved to Italy from Minneapolis for a year sabbatical. My father's a scientist, and my oldest brother said he wanted guitar lessons. So my parents discovered there was a famous guitarist who had studied with Segovia, was concertizing all over Italy, and was commuting twice a week to Varese, where we lived. Brought my brother for the interview. He said, "Classical? No way. I want to be Elvis Presley." So he bowed out, and I volunteered to take his place.
Had he known that your path would lead you to be able to record with rock stars, maybe he would have stayed that.
You never know. But it takes a lot of work. It really, really does. You have to be very, very dedicated.
I'm sure. Segovia was one of your teachers for a while.
I was fortunate when I was 14 to be introduced to him and have my first lesson with him. And that followed several more over the course of a few years. So the thing that I really carry back with me from that experience is just being just a few inches away from seeing and hearing him produce that beautiful tone that he had. Mm-hmm. And that always stayed in my ear as a model.
Well, your latest release, sorry, I don't have it in front of me. The name of it is?
Guitar Passions.
Sharon
has been in Friends.
Guitar
Passions.
You get to play with other people in a combo. As opposed to doing a solo recital or with a full orchestra, it seems to be a more intimate and you can hear a sense of fun.
Oh, it really was a fun thing to put together because it's a guitar tribute album, and I was able to call on many of my own guitar heroes to invite them as guests and to honor ones from the past, like Segovia and Lorindo Almeida and others. So I have joining me on Guitar Passions in duets, Steve Vai and Stanley Jordan and Steve Morse, Romero Lubambo, even Nancy Wilson from Heart is a guest. We do a version of Dreamboat Annie that we created especially for the CD. And Rosa Passos, who's a wonderful bossa nova singer from Brazil, Paul Winter and Tiago de Mello. So it was really like a big guitar party.
What makes me happy about this disc is that Segovia, Julian Bream, I don't know if they have that type of catalog available or that type of recording available. They kind of, the ones that we have in our library, that's the more serious.
Right, no, they never ventured out into the world of crossover.
But perhaps because the crossover is a more popular genre these days, and because we're not dependent on radio solely and have the internet to be able to have a worldwide pick of what we want to hear, you're able to do that.
Well, you know,
and
it's
then
funny.
Have it sell well.
I was one of the first classical guitarists, one of the earliest ones to do crossover, and this was back in the 1980s when I was invited by Laurindo Almeida, who brought bossa nova to the West from Brazil in the late 40s and early 50s, and by Larry Coryell. They had a trio concert, and they needed a guitarist who was a classical player who could do the solo part of the Rodrigo Concerto, which Laurindo had arranged for three guitars with a big bossa nova improv. And that's one of the pieces I include on Guitar Passions. So that's how we met. And what was supposed to be a one-night show ended up being something we toured together over a period of 5 years, and we made a recording. And at that time, guitarists just weren't doing that. And people would say, well, what does this mean? Are you not going to be playing classical anymore? I said, of course I am. I'm still working with all my contemporary composers. I'm working with Rosalind Turek on Bach arrangements. I'm doing everything that I normally do. I'm just adding this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at that time, I'm sure a lot of classical stations didn't quite know where to place it in
right.
their programming too, which would be a challenge for any artist. Now with the internet, as I said, anyone who wants to hear that can. But I enjoy a multi-variety of music, as does everybody. So, reflects that. Too.
Yeah, what's special about Guitar Passions is that I'm actually bringing these artists from different genres into my world and choosing the kind of music is I selected all the music specifically for each one that would really complement their skills and allow me to do what I'm good at. So none of us are trying to do something we can't do. We're all doing things that we're able to do, but we're creating a new voice and a new sound in that process.
Well, you're performing with the Louisville Orchestra on Friday evening, October 12th. And if you just joined us, this is Sharon Isbin, guitarist. The work is by Joseph Swantner. It was a work that was commissioned by you?
Right. It was written for me back, actually, it was the first one of, it wasn't the first concerto, but it was one of the earlier ones, and I premiered it with Leonard Slatkin and the St. Louis Symphony.
It's called From Afar, Fantasy for Guitar and
right.
Orchestra. Was there anything that you told Mr. Swantner that you wanted out of this, or did you just say, write me a piece of music?
Well, what happened is I was playing a solo recital in St. Louis, and I asked some friends if they could introduce me to Joe, because he was the composer in residence then with the symphony. And I didn't know, but discovered when I met with him and asked if he'd be interested in writing a guitar work. He said, did you know I was a guitarist? I said, I had no idea. He said, I had to choose when I was 18 whether I was going to be a composer or a guitarist, because both conferences were at scheduled at the same time, and that's when I made my decision. So what was really great about working with Joe is, unlike other composers who don't know the instrument, he does know the instrument. I didn't have to change anything. And it's one where he discovered, as he was writing the piece and as he finished it, that unbeknownst to him, the guitar had really informed all of his orchestral writing. And this was really revealed in the process of writing the concerto, because he suddenly was seeing the guitar as a central control board for the orchestra from which all these delicious sounds would spring off.
Well, listening to contemporary music, I can kind of tell when a songwriter is either piano-based songwriter mm-hmm. or a guitar-based, because a lot of songs are based on chords,
right.
like perhaps a guitar would be. Others could be more melody, which piano tends to do. So that's interesting. Now, was he able to play the work himself, or was he a composer that went beyond his own abilities?
I never heard him play, so I suspect it wasn't something where the chops were ever present. However, he did put in some fingerings in the score, so I knew that he was conceiving it visually as well as with the sound in mind on the instrument so that it could be really resonant.
Is this a piece that has you going and going and going, like maybe making me a Bach work where he just doesn't give the artist a break?
I think there are five measures where I don't play. And
oh, okay.
A three-minute-long cadenza, solo cadenza. That's when you really get to hear more of what the guitar can do, unencumbered by anything else that allows all the sounds and the nuances to come through.
The term fantasy doesn't suggest a program, but it has a title too, From Afar, so it almost mm-hmm. does suggest that
his past, yes.
Okay, so is there a story that goes along with the work, or does the audience need to know anything about it?
I think it really goes back to his childhood playing the guitar and that momentous time when he had to choose at 18, would he be a composer or a guitarist? And it was the first guitar piece he'd written since he was 18. So that's the From Afar. And a fantasy is maybe what it would have been like had he been.
You own several outstanding sounding guitars and that you feature on your website, SharonIsbin.com. I was fascinated to read about not only the instruments, but the makers as well. Do you find that one guitar, one instrument works better for a certain type of composition?
Well, I've played quite a few over the years, and a guitar maker I'd worked with in the United States for a long time, Tom Humphrey, died a few years ago at a rather young age, and I began to explore other makers. So I was playing a Michael O'Leary from Ireland, believe it or not. Not a country normally associated with guitar, but he builds beautiful ones. And now I'm playing one by Tony Mueller from Germany, which is a double top. And that allows him to use a thin wood to really give a maximum projection and a speed of attack when you strike the note. It almost plays at the very same second.
So what is a double top? What does that mean?
It's when the construction of the soundboard is like a sandwich. You have a slice of wood and then something that connects that to some grid work that connects it to the next slice of wood that's underneath.
Oh, wow.
And the purpose of that is to be able to choose a very, very thin top and provide the reinforcement so it won't buckle or break.
Sure.
And the thinness is what allows the speed of attack, the projection, and in this case, a really warm, beautiful sound.
Oh, see, I'm not familiar with that. It's fascinating to me that people know how to do this.
So if you see my soundboard, if you come to the concert and you see the reflection in the light, you'll see all the grid work reflected on the surface because the wood is so thin.
I noticed that watching a video of yours from Maine Public Broadcasting, and whenever the light shone off at a certain angle, there were ripples.
That's right.
Of some type, and I thought, there's something going on underneath there that I haven't seen before.
It's like little diamond patterns.
Your performance is with the Louisville Orchestra Friday, October 12th, with Joseph Schwantner's From Afar, a work that you commissioned, and that's at Whitney Hall at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Tickets and information available at 502-584-7777 or LouisvilleOrchestra.org. Again, that's 584-7777 at the Kentucky Center or LouisvilleOrchestra.org. Now, Kentucky Center had some renovations recently. How does it sound?
It's a great hall to play in. And what's so interesting is that it feels much more intimate than the 2,700 seats that it contains. You really have a sense that it's a smaller place than that, which is great.
Well, that's quite a major improvement. Years ago, it was pretty dead. Hmm. But they've done some amazing work with it. So we're looking forward to Sharon Isbin with the Louisville Orchestra, October 12th.
And this is my debut with the Louisville Orchestra.
Excellent.
This is one of the orchestras that has such a storied history of being a maverick, galvanizing the whole contemporary music field in the United States and, if not the world. So that it's a real honor to be here and to be able to play with Sarah Ioannidis, who is an excellent conductor. It's our first time working together. Mm-hmm. So we both share a past of working a lot with Tan Dun, the Chinese composer, who has also written me a guitar concerto. And it's exciting to be here. This is one of the great orchestras in American history.
Let's hope that's the first of many collaborations in the future. You can also go to Sharon's website, sharonisbin.com. You could spend hours there looking through the pages and watching the videos. It's just a fascinating site. Again, Sharon, thanks for coming.
Thank you.